Amen. A lot of people took off, and a lot of people made special arrangements to be here. I know my brother Donnie, you're off all week, isn't that right? Till Monday? Praise God. But I'm so encouraged. I'm so glad to be here myself. And you guys are like family to us, and I mean that. We've just kind of fallen in love. You come up here, and you instantly fall in love with the people, and the saints of God. And we fell in love with so many of the younger generation. I had just come here, and what impressed me about your church was that there were so many young people, so much life, so many friendships and things like that. You wanted to just be a part of it, and then they kind of pull you in, and then you're hooked, and you wouldn't want to be any other place than with the saints of God. Amen. A little bit of heaven right down here on earth. Praise God. Thank you guys for the fellowship. Thank you guys for coming all the way to Nebraska. I don't think I've ever really formally said that to you, but I appreciate that so much. Just your support, Terry, to come and to bless ministers and to encourage people in the Lord. Some of us, Jim and Jane, I'm looking at you guys. Some of us have smaller churches, you know. We don't have big mega churches like this one. But we have a dream and a vision in our heart. And I mean that sincerely. God is stirring. And I watch very closely like what you've done. And you can start to see seeds that you've planted in my life then manifesting in Nebraska. Yeah. I appreciate the ships for coming down and just encouraging us in the Lord. Don't think I've ever really stopped and said, I've been telling myself I need to write them a letter about 100 times and just thanking them for coming, but I thank God for the body, amen, that we're fitly joined together, we love one another, and God's not done, amen. He's got a lot of work. He's got a lot of work ahead of us, and I just want to encourage you guys in the Lord today. I also want to say thank you for all the people that are working behind the scenes. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Phenomenal. Whoever cooked that meat yesterday, I almost took some home with me, and you were gonna hook me up too. And that's the cool thing about this. Hospitality is awesome, right? Don't you love to be taken care of? I mean, which person doesn't want to be taken care of? But you come here, and everything's just golden. And that means a lot to people that are on the front lines. Amen? You feel like you can just kick back and relax and love on each other. And if I could just get some sleep at night, I'd be doing something right here. I'd be entering into the rest and the refreshing. If I could just sleep, Roger. I brought a guy with me. He said, I've never gotten so much sleep in all my life. I said, that's because you're hanging out with me, right? You just feel the peace of God. But he is sleeping during the day, during the night, and he's sleeping loud. And I'm sitting there with two pillows, just... And he says, oh, Pastor, I just feel revived and refreshed. Oh, God. I'm sitting there thinking, geez, I hope you are, brother. Because you don't know the sacrifice that I'm paying. You'll never know. But I'm so, see, it's good for the whole body. And that's why we brought some up here. Amen. Thank you guys for coming. And praise God. I want to talk to you guys a little bit. If you have your Bibles today, I'm going to try to preach off this contraption. If it doesn't work, I'm going to bail. I'm going to go with 4 points on this thing, okay? That's what I always do anyway. I prepare and then I bail, you know? God's helping me in that. He's in the last 6 months to a year, he's really freed me from having to have notes and things like that and just wanting to speak what the Lord wants to say. Amen? I want you guys to look at Romans 15:13 in your Bible. And this is my prayer for this church and all you ministers. And I mean it. Every single person in this room is a minister, okay? It's not, oh, the fivefold ministry gifts and then everybody else is just, you know, chattel. That's not how this works. the Bible says that there's a first apostles and then prophets, and then, you know, there's helps, there's aides, there's all these different things the Bible talks about. But we are all called to minister this gospel. The Great Commission is to every single person, right? Every single person, male or female, and we're to go and to preach this gospel with an unction and with a power. Amen. In Romans 15, 13, it says this. Now the God of hope, the God of hope. Anybody need any of that today? Now the God of hope fill you. Everybody say fill you. Fill you with all joy and peace in doing what? Believing. Isn't that a powerful verse? Look at the power that's in this verse alone. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing this thing that we hold to, this word of God. Amen? That we would believe this thing. That you may abound, that means just abound or superabound, that you guys would have the victory, the power, and the strength every single day of your life to abound in hope. And that's what we need. And I thank God for these ministers' conventions. And I pray to God that there's an encouraging word that comes from through me today to you guys. Through the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Bow your heads for just a second. Father, in Jesus' name, Father, we're just asking you to come and stir these people, Father God. Stir us up. Bless us, Lord God. Encourage us in the faith today. Give us hope. And Father God, that is our prayer today. And everybody said, amen. You know, as I was in the airport and flying over here, I got a bird's eye view of just everything that was, all these pretty, pretty little acreages all the way from Omaha, then to Minneapolis, St. Paul, and then we went to straight over to Milwaukee, and I could see all these shelter belts out there in the country, and it's always impressed me, being a farm kid my whole life, living in Cumming County, population 3,000 in our city, 3,000 plus in our city. So we're the metropolis with about towns of about 1,000 all dotted around us. But I see these shelter belts, and I wonder, as I look and we fly over, and I was taking some video, you know, just checking it all out, how many of these people have been blessed to hear the gospel of the kingdom? Heal the sick, raise the dead, open the blinded eye. How many in the Midwest, talk about the Midwest Ministers Convention, how many people in Montana, how many people in Wyoming, North Dakota, South Dakota, Iowa, Illinois, Nebraska have ever heard the gospel in which we love right here? Amen. That's a burden on my heart. God began to burden me years ago. It was in 2007 to as a layperson in the church, just to start a radio program that we figured out how to do in the corner of our house. To preach to the shelter belts, all these little, you know what a shelter belt is? It's a homestead, right? You see a grove of trees, and then people on the other side. They, you know, the north side, you plant trees, and that's to survive in this pioneer country of the Midwest, right? How do we reach all these people? And it still stirs my heart today that we're the believers, and we're supposed to take this gospel into all the world, and yet the vast majority of the United States of America, I don't believe, has ever heard the gospel in which we believe. I really believe that. They may have had some little form of religion. They may have some little denomination that's trying to hold, but it's getting weaned out all the way around us. I'm just telling you. The Baptists are not making inroads. The assemblies are not making inroads. It's just, it's really a full gospel move, and it's people that possess the power of the living God that are going to stand out in this end time. You know it, and I know it. We're a part of that, and I'm thankful to be a part of that today. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, you sang every song that's going to manifest what we're preaching today, but I want you guys to know that God's church is on fire, and it always has been on fire. There's a fire in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There always has been. There's perfection there. Now, we're the people. We come in, and we get saved, and we still have this sin nature, so God's got to do some perfecting. Amen. He's got to do some quickening. He's got to get us to where we need to be. He's got to conform us into the image of his dear son. He's got work to do in us. Amen? So there's work there's that kind of work that needs to be done. But don't get discouraged. God's very good at finishing what he starts. Amen? God's going to do that. He's going to do it in this hour, and we're going to see it. And this morning, I felt like the first morning, Terry, as you were preaching that message, just come in here, and you just wash the feet of these ministers in the word of God. That's what the Holy Spirit was saying to me. Wash every single person in this room with the Word of God. So if you love the Word of God, we're going to go into the Word of God. Amen? Praise God. So now the God of hope is going to fill you, amen, with all joy and peace in believing, so you can believe this gospel, that you may abound, superabound, powerfully abound in the Spirit. Now turn in your Bibles to John 15. I'll share with you something that God was showing me in January of this year that really, really stuck out to me. And for sake of time, you've heard about Jesus. You've heard about him being the true vine, amen? We're going to pick up in verse 4. When you're there, say amen. John 15, 4. He says, abide in me. Now, this is how I see the conference so far. Pastor, you were talking about waiting. You were talking about seeking. Amen? Brother Chris, you were talking about being in him, right? Jesus, what a message that was last night. Amen? Powerful. But now look at this. If the Holy Ghost is speaking to the church, you listen. Because God is just laying this out, waiting upon him, seeking him, being in him. Now look at this. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except you abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. And he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Do you believe that? Say amen. I can do absolutely nothing. I'm a dead loss. I cannot produce anything. There's nothing good about me. It's just getting worse every year, to be honest, right? If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Now here's the verse that the Holy Spirit really spoke to me in January of this year. If you'll abide in me. That means if you're staying in me, you're staying in my word, you're not trying to go this direction or this direction. You're faithfully seeking God. You're wanting more from God, right? If you abide in me and my words are abiding in you, you're staying in the word of God. You're staying true to the word of God. If that's the case, then ye shall ask. You shall ask what you will. Go ahead and underline it in your Bible. You shall ask what you will. Ask him what you will, comma, and it shall be what? And it shall be done unto you. And I read this and I was like, dear God, it just stuck. It just, what are you talking about? I'm asking God for things. But he says, no, you ask me. He told me one time through prayer and interpretation of my own tongue, he said, Aaron, if you'll seek me and me alone, if you'll seek me and not Facebook and not Instagram and not Twitter and not every other thing in this world, if you'll seek me and me alone, I will give you the four winds. I said, what in the world, the four winds? What does that mean? Well, church, what does it mean to a believing mind? God wants to open up our minds to believe for greater things. And not only that, he doesn't want us to just stop at just beholding his face, because we've been there. We've got to come into the place where we're going to seek him, and we're going to wait upon him, and we're going to be in him. Amen? But there's just one more step, and I believe this is the ordained of the Lord. There's one more step we've got to do. Once we're there, we've got to do something else. We've got to ask of him. You say, well, you know, we don't need to ask God. We just need to be in awe of his presence. Yes, we do. I'm in total agreements with that, right? God is laying this up. But once we get there and we're in awe of God, we can't stop there, because there's something he wants us to do. I want you guys to see it. He wants us to ask what you will, and it's going to be done. Now look at 8. Look at 8. We sang about it. The last song was something about glory, 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 right? The last song we just did up here. How do we glorify our God? Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Herein is my Father glorified. Now go back to 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in me, abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done. Herein is my Father glorified. God is glorified when we are asking God to save people. Amen. when we are asking people, when we are laying hands, when we are praying the prayer of faith, when we are blessing people with the word of God and going into all the world and preaching the gospel, God is glorified in every testimony that ever comes out of you, me, or anybody else. Amen. God is glorified to hear the testimonies of the saints of God, and that's the noise that should be abroad everywhere. God should be stirring the body with so many testimonies that the most exciting thing in the world is to come into the house of God and believe God to do something new and exciting. Amen. Because God's not dead. He's alive. He's alive in this hour. He wants to stir his people, but he wants to stir his people to do something once we get into the presence. We shouldn't be far from the presence. We should be living in the presence of God. Amen. Abiding in him. And so then we should turn this into asking our Father. And our Father says, if we ask what we will, it shall be done unto you, so that he may be glorified on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. So that everybody's talking about this Jesus and what he is doing in this hour. It glorifies God. Hallelujah. But he cannot do anything unless we're going to ask in faith. Nothing wavering, the Bible says, right? And we have not because we ask not. And I think in Pentecostal circles, we've gotten to the place where we can pray in another tongue, but we have no idea that's the inroad into a world of the Spirit. Amen? We think we've arrived when we get there. We can pray. We can rattle off in a little time. Well, praise God. That's it. That's my duty for the day. No, it's not. It just began there. Amen. Welcome to the faith. Amen. Here we go. Praise God. So this promise, ask what you will, is plainly teaching to the child of God that God wants us to glorify him by asking him, and he wants to give. And I want to talk to you guys about that because I don't want us to be empty-handed when we could have the inheritance. Somebody say amen. Amen. Psalm 23:1, you'll know it well. And I'll read some of these scriptures to you. If you can't keep up, I'm going to go fast here. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not. Here's what that word means. It means to fail. I shall not fail. I shall not lessen. I shall not be abated. I shall not decrease. I shall not have lack. I shall not have any lack. Did you hear that? Amen. Psalm 34:9 says this. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want. Everybody say want. We've been raised in an atmosphere where it's wrong to want anything from God. He'll supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. Don't you dare ask him for anything else. Isn't that right? We've lived there. I've lived there my whole life. I thought the scripture was, thou shalt not want. Bad boy. Naughty boy. You were asking God for something. No. That's not my heavenly Father. Thy shall not want is malkor. And here's what it means. Here's what it means. It means there's no deficiency in God. There's no impoverishment. There's no lack. There's no penury. There's no poverty. There's no want in God. Amen? God supplies all our needs, but many times he gives us our wants. Anybody know that we serve a good God? Praise the name of Jesus. When Sarah and I, my wife, we had gotten married out in Chino. Brother Clendenin and Duke Downs did the service, and I was a little bit ashamed at the fact that I didn't have the house worked out, so I was still living in my parents' basement at that time. But I wanted out of my parents' basement. I wanted out really bad. I didn't want to bring my new bride into the place where I was just staying there and reading the Bible for 7 years and seeking the face of God after a crazy conversion where God just rocked me and brought me home to him. Amen. And I wanted out of that basement, and I was praying. We were praying in the Holy Ghost. And, dear God, give us something. Open a door for us. Do something. We have to. And I was looking at this little trailer house for $8,500. And that was big because I had $200 to my name. My wife was now British, and she couldn't work legally in the country. Okay? She had just gotten into the country. She couldn't work. she was going to clean some houses, but she'd have to do it illegally. She'd have to be... And she just got her citizenship, by the way. Amen? Praise God. But we prayed on our knees, and we prayed God would do something specific and that God would do a miracle. And lo and behold, as we sought God through prayer and fasting, a man called us up from the other side of the pond and said, I heard that you're looking at a place. I heard that you're looking at a trailer. We were actually looking at a farm place. So I had driven up on the hill where we had run cattle over these cornfields. I said, Sarah, wouldn't it be nice to have a place like this someday? And guess what? God moved upon that man, and he said, what is that place worth? What are they asking for it? And what's going on? And God moved upon that man to write us out a check for $85,000. And I put that into my checking account next to the $200 that I had there. And he said, go to the county in which you live and purchase that property with your $85,200. Amen? Give God some glory in this place. Amen? When we ask God for a car, he gave us two cars for $5,500. Amen? Praise the name of Jesus. When we ask God for a youth outreach center, and I was going to rent it for $500, O ye of little faith, God gave us a city block. Amen? He gave us the Ford dealership. Praise God. Amen? Now we're having church in a Ford dealership. It's the prettiest church in town. Amen? When we ask with a burden in our heart to reach these shelter belts, God caused me to go into an interview because I had a degree in advertising at one time. And he had me sit through this advertising spiel at this local radio station. And I said, thank you for all the information, but I've come here with one question. Do you have an open time slot on a Sunday morning to preach the gospel? Now, in our area, it's Lutheran and Catholic, and that's it. They've never heard the gospel. It's baptismal regeneration. They've just never heard what it means to be born again. So where I preach, I almost have to preach the gospel somehow in every message. Amen? I mean, really, it is a different place. As soon as I spoke it out of my mouth to this rep, this advertising rep, she said, did you know that has been held in that position, the 9:30 time slot, for 14 years, and it just opened up this past week? They said, do you want it? I said, absolutely. And then I thought, well, what's it going to cost? She said, $600. Do you know what I was making? $600. I was making $600 a month at that time. I asked for food and board and just some help as I ran 200 head of stock cattle in northeast Nebraska. So I had to bet the farm to be on the radio to preach the gospel, which brought me to zero again. Amen? But God moves, and he moves in revival fashion if we're willing to ask him for great and mighty things. And I want to stir you guys today and ask you, are you seeking the face of God to ask him for the mightiest things that could ever happen in your life and in your community and in your world? Are you asking, dear God? Are you asking? Are you beseeching him? Praise God, we must come and seek him. We must come and wait upon the Lord. But after that, you better talk to that God, because it is only going to glorify him. Amen? Because he wants to throw that testimony out there to the wide world. He wants to load you guys with so many testimonies that, dear God, the world needs to know that Christ is alive. Amen? That he's risen from the dead. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Now look at Ephesians here with me for a second. I want to remind you guys today that God wants to delight he delights in us, the Bible says, but he says delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. That word is also wants. Did you know that? Desire, want, look it up. Of thine heart, what are you wanting from God? Commit thy way into the Lord, trust in him also, and he's going to bring it to pass. Ephesians 3:16. Don't you love all the 3:16 passages in the Bible? Look, now he would grant you, everybody say grant you. That's you. And he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. He's rich, amen, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God, God's fullness. Amen. 3:20. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Above all that we ask. Wait a second. He said, ask what thou wilt. I'm going to go above what you ask. I'm going to go beyond what you can ask. I'm going to give you above all, which is everything. You've already got everything, but I'm going to take it to another level. And I'm going to start walking. I'm going to start multiplying things. I'm going to start opening up the windows of heaven. I'm going to pour out a blessing in which you can't even receive. Some of you guys think, geez, he's preaching almost prosperity. I am preaching prosperity, the true prosperity. Amen. In Jesus Christ. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. This is a good gospel. Woo! Here's your commentary. Super abundantly above the greatest abundance that we could ask or even think, according to the power that works in us, his ability connected to his willingness to provide and to be all in all for his people. Did you know you're his people today? You've been bought by the blood of Jesus. You're saved and washed in that precious blood. And he can do immeasurably above all. Now, we had a huge, huge flood this year in Nebraska. You guys probably caught glimpses of it. I wanted to talk about just what a flood does. A flood is fullness to where the land can't even bring it in anymore. Amen? I'm talking about fullness here. But God is going to even cause fullness to overflow. Do you get that? That's what the text is saying. He's causing rivers to overflow, blessings to overflow, grace is going to overflow, miracles are going to overflow, and it's going to have to, brother. As I sweep across this land upon that airplane, he is going to have to get out there and touch all these masses, all these shelter belts, amen? All these people need Jesus. Jesus died for every single one of them. I don't care if they're Lutheran, Catholic, Methodist, Episcopalian, or whatever else. They need Jesus just like we need him. They're not sitting here hearing the meat of the word. They don't even have the milk of the word. And that should concern us. Amen? It should concern us enough to want to talk to Jesus Christ about that. Amen? He said, ask of me and I'll give you the heathen for thine inheritance. And the uttermost part of the earth is thy reward. Are we asking him? Or do we just want to be filled for the sake of being filled again? And we're not going to do it. We're not going to go anyway. We're not going to go across town. We're not going to end up in ministry. We're not going to go to the seniors ministry, the jail ministry, the whatever else. When we get back on Saturday night, a brother named Ryan Roth, who I would have gone to blows with back in the day from Bancroft, Nebraska. He was the guy at the parties and at the dances, the local town dances that you always, if he was here, you wanted to be in that corner. He was hot-headed. The family's full of drugs, and everybody knows it. Well, we went into the jail. He's 43. I'm 43. We went into the jail. We got to preach to him. I got to share the love of God with that man. He couldn't believe that I got saved, number one. I mean, this kid had broken a lot of jaws. This just quick-tempered anger kind of a guy, you know? And he wept puddles as God saved his soul in that place. God touched his life and changed him. And this Saturday night, when we get back, we're going to have in his hometown, we're going into Bancroft, we're going to have a drug and alcohol assembly that's faith-based, amen, and we're going to preach the gospel to the whole city. And that is a key that's opening up the entire city of that area, amen? That's what this is about, that we would go into the world and preach. And as we go, preaching the gospel, power, signs, wonders, demonstrations are going to follow them that believe this gospel. Amen. Didn't somebody say that? His name was Jesus. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. God is doing it, and I'm excited. Now go to Jeremiah. Go to Jeremiah 29:11. And I'm just laying this out for, this is just my first 5 minutes. I can go further, can't I? I'll preach a little bit more this morning. Praise God. But as you go to Jeremiah 21:11, I want to tell you that this is the God of the how much more. How much more shall your heavenly Father give good gifts to them that ask? Amen. He's the God of the how much more. He's a superabounding God. Amen. This is our God, church. This is our God. He's not dead. He's risen. Amen. Woo! Praise the name of Jesus. Now look. Jeremiah 29:11. I've heard Terry talk about this. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, church, says the Lord. They're thoughts of peace and not of evil. God doesn't want to just stick you under his thumb and just keep crushing you and crushing you and crushing. I believe that for a long, long time. Guess what? God is lifting me up and out of that, amen, so I can live the life of Christ, amen? Praise the name of Jesus. Not of evil, but to give you an expected end. You know what that word means? It means this. It means I want to give you some expectancy in your life, hope, life, and the things that you long for, desire, or want. Whoa! That's a good God giving us good things
to the children that he loves as we ask and desire him and we're expectant and really waiting upon him as we're seeking him, as we're in Christ. Once we get there, we got to do the next thing. Ask him. Ask what thou wilt, and it shall be done. For who? Everybody point at yourself. Are you serious? We are in touch with the God of all gods, the God, there is no other God, the God of this universe, and he is going to do something for us. He's already done something for us in saving us, amen? But it gets better and better and better. Then shall you call upon me. You shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, church. He's going to hearken unto your prayers, and you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. With all your heart. With everything. With true waiting and true seeking. But I want to ask you a question. If I can find him, I want you guys to hold up your keys. I'm going to ask you this question. Because you go New Testament now. Matthew 16. In Matthew 16, I want to ask the church a question. Church, did you lose your keys? Have you lost your keys? And you know where I'm going, Matthew 16, 17. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Keys are used to unlock closed doors, right? They're used. You hit the little button, the key comes out, boom. You turn that key. Everybody say, turn the key. You turn that key and something's going to happen. That door is going to open. Shoot, now you can just press a button and the door will probably open in this day and age. But keys in the scripture are talking about opening up these doors that need to be opened in this land. And we need to take back what the devil's stolen from us. Amen? They need to hear the gospel out there. So Jesus is giving the authority, as it were, to his apostles and his disciples to open doors of heaven and invite that lost and dying world to come to Jesus and have a moment with Christ where they get born again. Amen? Praise God. And I did say born again. We still have to preach that in Nebraska. Amen? We have to preach born again. We have to preach confessing with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believing in thy heart so you can be saved. And so faithful preaching of the gospel is the key to the kingdom. Amen? Praise God. I'm glad for faithful preachers that have poured into our lives and poured the goodness and the power and the oil and the revelations that you guys have brought to guys like me. It's going to pay off in dividends for you down the road. Amen? Do you believe that? Amen. God is increasing this body. Praise God. So look at Peter. So Peter's this guy. You know what Peter was like, impetuous and crazy and in and out. Sometimes he was run off by fear, and then he gets filled with the Holy Ghost, and he starts to turn some keys, and he starts to turn some heads. Amen? This guy preaches on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 get saved as he turns the gospel key, amen, and that authority is released, and it's God through him, amen? No, it's all God, but it's through man. Are you getting that? God's going to use men in every generation. He always has, and he always will. So God uses him on the day of Pentecost, and it's poured out, 3,000 are saved. And then they send Philip down to old Samaria, right? And Philip's having revival right there. And God, people are coming to Christ. They're casting out devils and demons. And people are getting stirred with God. And all of a sudden, they call on Peter again. Say, Peter and John, would you come down? We've got some people that have received Jesus. Now they need this thing called the Holy Ghost. Amen. And when they laid their hands on them, they had prayed. Amen. And they received the Holy Ghost. Do you remember that? He's turning keys again for the kingdom of God. He's going into new lands and new territories. He's doing pioneering works. He's stirring up the world for God. And every devil's mad at him. Do you believe that? And he's offended every principality and power in the region. I believe that wholeheartedly. And then again, he's not done. God's going to use him again with Cornelius. Talk to the Gentile people. He's going to turn that key again. And while he was yet preaching the gospel under the unction, amen? The smearing, the power, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. While he is yet preaching, the Holy Ghost falls on them as it did in the beginning. And they're all filled with the Holy Ghost, magnifying God, speaking in other tongues. Somebody say amen. Amen. He's turning keys, amen. Turning keys everywhere he goes. He's believing, but he's asking God, amen. He's staying in tune with God, and God's giving him trances and all sorts of unbelievable visions and things like that to confirm that he's supposed to go to this people too. Black people, white people, Hispanic people. Praise God, we're getting to touch our Hispanic brothers, amen. I got to preach the last 2 years, I've got to preach the Hispanic conference in our region with eight or nine churches, and there was 450 people there per night. And it's all the Hispanic, I believe they're Trinity. They don't call them apostolic, they call them Trinity in our state. And I got to preach the gospel to these dear, precious people. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. It's for everybody, church. Amen. So keys. Let's talk about keys for just a second. The keys that Jesus had given him, given to Peter, worked in every case. Are they working for you? Are they working for you? Praise the name of Jesus. The apostles preached. People were responding by faith. The disciples were wanting power. There's no doubt about it. Just read it the other night. It came fresh to me again. They said, when are you going to restore the kingdom unto us? They still didn't see very clearly. I'm in Acts chapter 1 now. They're saying, when are you going to restore the power and the kingdom unto us? And Jesus said in Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. They didn't realize that the kingdom in power would be in the Holy Ghost. Amen. There's a scripture I want to bring to you today, and it's somewhere in Romans. I know it's in there. Romans 14, 17. It's this. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom that was going to come in power was totally by the Holy Ghost. Totally in Holy Ghost power. Totally in Holy Ghost fashion. This was the kingdom that the disciples thought that they could politically take over, right? They thought, let's go talk to Herod. Let's move some things. Let's petition. Let's go to the state capitol and let's stand there and have a little march. No, 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 no. He's saying, no, I've given you the keys to open the blinded eye. Amen? To cause the lame to walk. To stir the earth while you walk. We should be world changers and we should stand for the power of God everywhere we go. Amen? When we walk into rooms, we should change the complexity because of the power of the anointing that's upon us to preach this gospel and to see people saved and come to Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen in this house. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom of God is in the Holy Ghost. Can you say that with me? It's in the Holy Ghost. It's in the Holy Ghost. So we need to seek and wait and get in that Holy Ghost river. Amen? But once we get there, we've got to do something. We've got to talk to Abba Father. He wants to talk back with us. See, this is a personal relationship. We preach that, don't we? It's not just, I'm going to get there and I'm going to. Let's go deeper. Anybody want to go deeper? He's promised us a complete victory. Is anybody struggling today? Let's be real. I haven't slept since I got here because of that man right there. I have overeaten every meal. That's your fault too. You're so hospitable. I'm coming here for rest and refreshing. I'm going to come home poured out like water because I'm supposed to eat a Panzerotti or something tonight. I don't know. It sounds like a car. It sounds like a sports car. And I have to try to eat that now. What? Panzerotti, whatever. Oh, they're good. I'm sure I'll try it too. God's given us a complete victory. Portia, look at this. He's given us from the cross. Can I preach the cross for a second? Dear God, at the cross, amen. Look at this. He's given us a victory over every trial, every circumstance, every relationship, conflict, criticism, unkind word, rejection, bitterness, guilt, unforgiveness, over your unbelief. He's bigger than your unbelief, amen. Dear God, over every pain and every wound that you suffered, over sickness and disease, over the world, the flesh, and the devil, God is bigger than all of these things. Amen. And he's given us a victory to have victory forever, for eternal victory. Amen. Jesus has conquered death to give us victory in every area that we apply that victor. Every area. He has made us more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. Greater is he that's in me. Amen. That means we can squash the devil under our foot. Amen. If we're walking in the Holy Ghost. We like to say in Nebraska, when we get so full of the Holy Spirit, Mike Tyson better look out. Amen. He better, do you ever feel that way? I'm talking about almost like an invincibility as Christ comes upon us and allows us to move in his power. And I speak that with total humility. There's a difference between confidence, which is pistis, faith, pistis, okay? There's a difference between confidence and conceit. Amen? I'm talking about boldness in the faith. Amen? Paul had boldness in the faith. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. But church, we have the blood. We have the antidote for all time. Man, I've only been preaching for a few minutes. Can I preach a little longer? The blood. We have the antidote. We have the sinless blood of God that was poured out at Calvary for us to atone for every sin. And it washes us totally clean. And last night, I'm telling you, I needed a touch and the windshield wiper went whoop, whoop, clean. Amen. Thank you. Thank God. And the blood is still alive today. It's not dead blood. It's not dead blood. It's not dead blood. I don't even know if I should go there with what I'm about to say. It's still saving. It's still healing. It's still redeeming. It's still touching. It's still stirring. Amen. And what about his name? We've got the name of Jesus. Amen. Church, have you lost your keys? Amen. We've got Jesus. There's power in his name, power in his blood. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And it's the most beautiful name that there is. It's the most gorgeous name. It's anointed. It's fragrant. He's beautiful. He's beautiful to look upon. You get in his presence, you feel the glory of God, and it just humbles you, and it makes you just want to lay on the floor before him as if dead and thank God. Sometimes I just reach my hand out. I believe that I'm just grabbing his ankle and just holding his foot. He's so holy and he's so good, and we have him and you have him if you're a child of God today. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. I love him today. Amen. We have the example to be born of and filled with and led by. Amen. Born of and filled with and led by the supernatural power. And then we have the admonition to not be drunk with wine or the cares of this life, but to be filled, plural, to be totally, absolutely, oh my gosh, drunk, so to speak, and intoxicated with the Holy Spirit of God. To be filled with all the fullness of God, amen? That's your invitation, and that's his will, to conform you to Jesus Christ. He's going to do it by the Holy Ghost. And I remember one time I'm thinking, who's got this right? Is it Jimmy Swaggart? And he's saying, it's faith. It's the message of the cross. It's this. And I think, Jimmy, you got a good idea there. That's right. And then I'm like, oh, no, is it Clendenin? Maybe it's Clendenin, because Clendenin said, it's going to come out of the Holy Spirit. But I've come to the conclusion that in Galatians 5:22, when we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, it says that faith is a fruit of the Spirit. You want to have kind of the faith of our fathers? You want to have a faith that conquers and stirs and subdues kingdoms like we read in, the Hall of Fame of faith? Faith pistis, faith confidence, faith boldness. You want to have that? Then you've got to get in the river of the Holy Spirit and begin to swim. You got to get in that place, and then you got to start asking God, and God wants to give more than you'll ever want to receive, and Jesus wants to give you more and more and more and more and more. The Holy Ghost is going to baptize you into Jesus. Jesus is baptizing everybody into the Holy Ghost, and we're getting more and more and more of the anointment of the apothecary over every single one of us. It's a smearing. The Bible says it's an unction from the Holy One. It's a smearing. I won't touch your hair this morning. But if I had some goop, I'd be going like this right now, all over people's hair. And once you get that over you, everything, you walk into a room that people need healing, that people need a touch. Dear God, last year I was in Omaha Anybody know the Starnes family? Mark and Amy Starnes? You know them. Amy, I went to college. I met Amy at a tanning bed in Lincoln, Nebraska. And I asked her to come to a camp meeting in Chino, California. She met Mark Starnes, and the two of them got married. Anyway, Amy's grandpa got sick last year. And the Starnes family started to pray. They said, Aaron, we're not going to get there in time, but you could get to Omaha in time. And I began to pray and feel the weight and the heaviness of the Holy Spirit. Then I went into that whatever kind of a chaplain's deal it was, probably Roman Catholic or something else at the place. And I prayed, and I just stood on my face. I sat on my face before God and just prayed and prayed until I was so full of the Holy Spirit, just praying the will of God. I walked into that room of a man who was probably Lutheran his entire life, shared the love of God with that man, and he received Jesus instantly. It was like a light beam came into that room, exploded his chest. He felt the love of God, and for the next 6 days, all he could speak about was Jesus, 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 to his whole family, to the staff, to the hotel, to the hospital people, all of the attendants, everything. It was Jesus, church. It's Jesus, my God. It was the power of the Spirit to change lives as we go into places. We turn the keys, amen, by walking in faith, amen, and God opens the door. That little widow, the miracle would have never happened in the Old Testament if she wouldn't have poured out into every vessel in this, amen? Every vessel needed to be grabbed, and every vessel, every young life needed to be touched. All of us need to be touched. The whole wide world needs to be touched, and you only have the influence to reach them. Amen? So we all have the necessity to be quickened and to be filled right now with this power of God to go into all the earth is needful. It's now. It's now it's time to turn the keys. It's now. It's not. We have a moment in human history to get the job done. This is our occupation. This is what we're giving our life for. I want to burn for God. Amen. I want to be alive when he comes. Amen. Them that are alive and remain. Dear Jesus, hallelujah. Dear God, hallelujah. I pray that we're just getting stirred up this morning. He's given us all these things, a complete victory, a pure language. He's given us the blood. He's given us the name. He's given us everything. And he says, ask what you wilt. He's given us a hotline to heaven. Let me slow down and teach for a second. Amen. I don't know whether I teach or whether I preach. But have you ever heard this? God's called us to do something that's mission impossible, right? It's impossible without the Holy Ghost. That's why God allowed it to do it, so he gets all the glory. Amen. It's a pure language. Now, here's my question. I need the theologues in this room to answer this for me. Did God speak Hebrew with Adam and Eve in the garden? I'm asking Carla. I'm asking Joy. What in the world was he speaking to Adam and Eve? We know later it was translated into Hebrew, right? Let's translate. Today we're in English with our Bibles, right? What was he originally speaking? I think this is interesting. Corinthians 13:1 says that though I speak through the tongues of men and angels, I believe that there's an angelic language out there that is spoken and it originated with God. Amen? Okay? What language do angels speak? Remember Paul? He gets caught up into the third heaven with that vision. He said he heard things that were unlawful for him to even utter. Do you remember that? Do you remember in the book of Daniel, the writing on the wall, meeny, meeny, tinkle, laka, the hand of God written on. What language was that? Do you know nobody knows? It was an unknown mystery language. Now go in your Bible to Genesis 11:1. I can see Jim stewing on this one. He says, what is he going here now? Praise God. The other thing I want to apologize to Terry. I've kind of been attention deficit my entire life. And so to stand behind a pulpit freaks me out. So being here oh, thank God, I feel comfortable now. If I know it sometimes freaks other people out for a pastor to walk around, but it's hard for me to be up there all the time. Okay, amen. What does it say? Genesis 11, 1. Well, we get language because we know God and Adam and Eve were talking. There was a language up until the Tower of Babel. There was one language. Okay? This is after the flood and everything else, Tower of Babel. And what, let's just read that little passage there. Pick up in verse 5. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go, let us go down. This is the Trinity coming down. And let's confound their language that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence on the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Very, very interesting to me. In essence, God is saying, we better take this language away because they can use, if they use this language for their own private interpretation, all things are possible through this language. They all have one language. Now look at this. Why didn't God let them build it? He's basically saying they could have done it. God was saying to them, in essence, look at this. God is saying, we better take this language away because with this language, all things are possible. And you guys are saying, what are you talking about? Babel then. So he brings them and brings Babel, which means confusion. And he puts it upon all the people. And today there's 40,000 dialects and 7,000 languages. Okay? And so we're all confused. Everyone's confused all around this world. It's hard for me to even I have to speak through an interpreter to get to the Hispanic people. And you do too. All the peoples of the world are confused. Is it possible that if you would use this language rightly in communion with God for what it was intended for, that nothing would be withheld from you again? Just a hunch. I want you guys to be thinking now today. Okay? 1 Corinthians 14. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. 14:14 says, my spirit prays when I speak in an unknown tongue. 1 Corinthians 14:15 says, what is it then? I'll pray with the spirit, the pneuma, and I will pray with the understanding also. That means my intellect. I'm going to pray in my intellect and my will. Okay, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm also going to pray in the pneuma, which means the wind, breath, breathe, blow of God. Right? I'm going to sing with it. And I'm going to sing with the understanding. I'm going to do both. Now think about this. How many people, even in your Pentecostal churches, have only prayed with their own understanding? They've only prayed with their mind and their intellect and their will. Dear God, I pray for Sally. I pray for Billy. I pray for Keaton. I pray for the people in our church. I pray for our missionaries. Did you know that there's another way to pray? And it's very, very effective. Now, our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. That could be selfish as we pray to God. Imagine praying a totally unselfish prayer. Imagine praying a total, perfect, not soulish at all. Wow. Do we have that too? Do we have the keys to that, church? Do we have that? Has anybody then ever really put on the full armor of God if they're not praying in the Holy Ghost? Pray in the Spirit. It's part of the end of the putting on the armor. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the pneuma, in the Spirit. In the Holy Ghost, in the Holy Ghost wind. Why should we do this? Why is this a key to the kingdom? Why in the world would this be important to us? Why would it be given to a remnant people and refused by a mass people? Why, church? Why? Why? Are you guys interested at all? Maybe? Because you're not praying a soulish prayer. You're praying spiritual prayers. Look at Romans 8:26. Is this not what it says? Likewise, the Spirit's going to help your weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us. The Holy Ghost is going to pray through you, in you, to you, and it's going to pray and make intercession for the saints according to the will of God. My God, did he give us the earnest of the inheritance on the day of Pentecost and bring back a pure language for us to be able to speak? Maybe one that's already a heavenly language, amen, an unknown to the world, but he's given it to a people that'll believe by faith and start to move and operate in it. And when we begin to pray and ask what thou wilt, dear God, he says, I will do this for you. Why? Because it's not you and your little lustful prayers. It's not you consuming it on your lust at all. It's now the perfect will of the Holy One of heaven. Woo! Are you telling me that that's given to us too? I want to ride in your car, amen? I want to ride in Ship's car. He's always got a faster one than me. But I'm going to catch him one day. Church, are you getting this? The name of Jesus, amen? The blood of Jesus, amen? The Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. A pure language which causes us to get right back into the perfect will of God that we pray. He prays through us, my gosh, and things begin to happen. Things begin to move instantly. Now imagine this, Terry. If the whole church would then begin to wait upon God, seek God, and that we would all be in Jesus, amen? We'd abide in him, and then we'd start to ask what we wilt. And then God would start to do what? He's going to do what we ask, right? Because we're praying the perfect will of God. Now what's going to happen? And that the Father would be glorified on the earth, church. Somebody give God a hand clap of praise. That we would live to bring God glory in the earth. We sang about it. But do we believe it? Or have we stopped at a little prayer language and forgotten what in the world it's all about? Dear God, in the name of Jesus. Dear God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I only got about 4 pages into my message. You guys know how that. I love Jesus, man. This is good stuff. What about when you're weak? I'll try to close with this. Listen, what about when you're so weak? Like me right now, trying to barrel through this migraine to preach because of him. What about when you're weak and you feel broken? You don't feel strong. You feel absolutely like you have nothing. You know, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will quicken or make alive your mortal body. He'll bring life, amen. He'll bring resurrection power to whatever you have. What about when you're so weak? You're so weak that you've got nothing and you have no endurance and you feel like, I am the weakest because I've stumbled and struggled and I continue to. Anybody ever feel that way? Anybody at all? Jeez. Then brother, can I help you with this last scripture? Let me find it. There it is. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Look at this. I want to talk to all the very weaklings in this room. A lot of times you feel like you're so small and there's no spiritual stature and there's nothing that you got. God could never move through you because you ain't got nothing, Aaron. You know? I feel that way a lot of times. You start to believe the circumstance around you, Jim. But look at this passage. Let's read it together almost. And he said unto me, look at this. Pastor Ship, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my, what is it? My strength, my dunamis, my power is made perfect in your what? Oh, gosh. Listen to this statement, guys. When you come to the end of your own strengths, if you'll appropriate his strength, you'll understand how he will not only activate your will, but he'll animate your body. Our God's plan is to deliver us from self-sufficiency. Amen. He wants us to move into God's sufficiency all the time. Amen. He makes us perpetually weak sometimes so that we can be supernaturally strong. And my God, then it's in your benefit to be weak before God. And he's going to hulk you out with such a dynamic power, my God, that the devils are going to run when you stand. Amen. Hallelujah. Even in your weakness, he's strong. Hallelujah. He's stronger because he can show himself strong. Praise the name of Jesus. Church, I'm going to close out today saying this. Do you have the keys? Do you have the keys? I remember this, and I'll close with this thought. When I used to go to the state basketball tournaments in Lincoln, Nebraska, where the great Huskers play, amen, I'd go to those tournaments, and man, I'd be locked up into those games, and it'd be number one against two, and it was just like the Hoosiers all over again. And I tell you what, the cheerleaders, those pretty cheerleaders would stand up there, and they'd be with their pom-poms doing this thing, you know, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. And the whole crowd's chanting, and everybody's stomping, you know. They got that cadence stomp going on. And then they would pull this out as the winning team was taking the lead by two or three points or whatever. And they would get out, and the game's almost over, and they'd pull the keys out. And they say this. They say this, go start your bus. Go start your bus. Go start your bus. And the cheerleaders would be jumping up and down. Go start your bus. They'd be jingling the keys. You ever guys ever do that? Oh, only in Nebraska. Oh, great. Just expose myself. We full of everything that we have, every key that God's ever given us, we ought to tell the devil, go start your bus. The thing, it's over. It was finished at Calvary. Amen. You were destroyed. You'd be walked on. You're going to be humiliated. You're going to be thrown in the lake of fire forever. We need to tell our children. They can have power as they walk into the schools, wherever they go in this world. We have power in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Church, I pray that we'd rise up in this moment, in this hour. We'd stand with our loins girt about with truths. Amen. We'd stand up believing. We'd be filled with hope and expectancy, dear God, that he's going to do it. And he, church, everybody, would you stand to your feet as we close this out? Jesus told the Apostle Paul that I'm going to use your life. You've been apprehended. Apprehended. For this one reason. To turn them, watch this, to turn them from darkness unto light and from the power of Satan unto the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Bow your heads with me this morning. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father God, I pray that there's a turn in the tide this morning. I pray in the name of Jesus that every single minister in this room, that's every human being that's a Christian, every single person would begin to turn the keys and turn the tide and begin to ask what thou wilt. Ask what thou wilt. Ask what thou wilt. Because you're going to receive when you pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In your heart of hearts, as heads are bowed, eyes are closed.